So the subtitle for tonight's message is this: Take a Closer Look. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. We have to take a closer look. We have to take a closer look at our relationships. How do we assess our relationships? Well, that word assess means to make a judgment about something. To assess means to make a judgment about something. It means to evaluate. Church, we must make a judgment concerning our relationships. We must evaluate our relationships, but not in the way you might think. See, some of us heard that statement from a purely selfish perspective. We heard, I must evaluate my relationships this way. I must determine if my relationships are useful to me. That's how we heard that statement. I must determine whether my relationships are good for me. Is what she's doing good for me? Is what he's doing good for me? Is this relationship making me happy? We hear that, but that's not the type of evaluation that we're talking about. Remember last week we learned that we must be righteous in how we deal with others. We must be righteous in how we deal with others. So that's what I must evaluate. Am I handling my relationships the right way? Am I dealing with others according to God's standard? Pastor, are you saying it doesn't matter how other people treat me or deal with me? No, I'm not saying that. And I'm not suggesting that we should ever subject ourselves to a harmful, dangerous, or unsafe, abusive relationship. Now, we have to get that. That's very important. Because if you're in that type of relationship, you have to get counsel immediately. So we're not talking about just staying around in an unsafe or abusive relationship. Yet the question is, do I deal with others righteously? That's what I have to evaluate. Do I relate to others the way that God expects me to relate to them? Remember, we don't get to walk two tracks. There is who we are as a Christian and how we deal with other people. So how does God expect me to relate to others? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, last week we learned that Paul reminds the believers at Ephesus who they were, that he instructs them to live righteously. He tells them to walk worthy of the life that God has called them to. In other words, you were saved to be righteous, so be righteous. He instructs them to be closely joined to each other in the body of Christ and to use their gifts to strengthen and build the church. We learned about that on Sunday. And he encouraged them to put away their old behavior and be like Christ. Be righteous with your tongue. Rein in your flesh. Fix your attitude. And that took us all the way up to chapter 5, verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, last week we said that what Paul was saying is imitate God. Imitate God in everything that you do because you are his dear children. But let's read verse 2. He says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, regulate your life by walking in love. Regulate your life by walking in love. And he explains how to do that. You are to do that the same way that Jesus did. Jesus regarded the welfare of others. He was selfless. And he gave himself up for the good of others. And this is well-pleasing to God. So Paul is saying, that's how you are to conduct yourselves. Church, we bear the responsibility to deal with all men in love. We bear the responsibility to deal with all men in love. I am to relate to others the way Jesus relates to me. That means I am to regard the welfare of others. Do we regard the welfare of others in our relationships? I am to be selfless in my dealings with others. Are we selfless in our relationships? And I am to give myself for the good of others. Am I giving myself for the good of others in my relationships? We must handle our relationships out of a heart of love. And when we do this, it is well-pleasing to God. Why? Because this is Christian living. When I relate to others the way Jesus relates to me, I am making Jesus clear and I'm making him visible. When I relate to others the way that Jesus relates to me, I am making Jesus clear and visible. See, it's not so much all of the things that we say. If I can't relate to other people the way that Jesus relates to me, doesn't matter what I say, doesn't matter how articulate I am, how eloquent I am about talking about the gospel, people cannot see what I know. Church, when we assess our relationships by God's standard, because this is the standard, we realize that some of our relationships need some work. So let's get to our points for tonight. When we assess our relationships by God's standard, we realize that some of our relationships should, point number one, end. Amen. Some of our relationships should end. Now, I don't mean what you think I mean. See, you all are laughing. Some of our relationships need to end. Pastor, I thought you said we weren't supposed to X people out. That is correct. So I'm not talking about Xing people out because they have offended or disappointed us. So this is not, thank you, Pastor. Yes. I have some relationship. I just need to get rid of some folks. That relationship needs to end. That's not what I'm talking about. When I say that we have some relationships that need to end, what I'm saying is the way that we deal with some people needs to come to an end. Amen. We're not rejecting anyone. We're not Xing anyone out. But the way that we deal with some people needs to come to an end. See, our dealings with some people are sinful. We are in sinful relationships. That is, we are encouraging others to commit sin. We're engaging in sin with others. When we are in sinful relationships, see, we got real quiet. When we are in sinful relationships with others, we don't regard their welfare. We don't. Doesn't matter what we say, how much, oh, I just love them so much. When we are in sinful relationships with others, we don't regard their welfare. We live for the pleasure of our flesh to their detriment. That's what we're doing. So we're not light. We're not salt. Instead, we become a corrupting influence. And church, that's not love. Amen. That's selfishness. Remember, we learned about selfishness on Sunday. See, I'm enjoying sin at the expense of someone else's wholeness. And I'm making excuses for it. We're enjoying our sin at the expense of someone else's wholeness. think about this. Now, we talked about this in the context of dealing with our flesh. We said that when we engage in sin with others, especially the lost, we are walking them up to the gate of hell and we're leaving them there. We say, I'm going to be back. I got to go to church and I'm going to get back with you. That's selfishness. Because what I am doing is I'm disregarding their soul with a knowledge on the inside or with a belief on the inside that I'm all right, amen, that I'm going to heaven. Mm-hmm. Let's read Ephesians 5 verses 1 through 7 again. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So now we said that what that is teaching us is that we are to regulate our lives in love. Notice what comes next. After we are told to walk in love, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. He's talking to the saints. Don't let anyone fool you. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. See, Paul is saying, don't fool yourself with empty excuses or arguments for your sin. We have to know and understand that God's wrath is coming upon those who engage in this behavior. So don't partake in it. Amen. Don't walk someone down the path of God's wrath. Amen. Let's continue reading. Verse 8, it says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Paul is saying there was a time you didn't know better. You engaged in this behavior because you didn't know better, but now you do. He's saying, I want you to walk in love in your relationships with others. Don't partake in something that is leading people to destruction. Be who you were created to be. Be righteous. Demonstrate what is acceptable to God. Don't take part in fruitless sin. You know that sin is fruitless. You know it's not going to produce anything. Don't take part in that. This is what it means to walk in love. And so he's letting them know your life should be so different from the world in your relationship with others that it should expose the wrong in others, not to look down on them, but to convince them and to convict them. Why is that an act of love? That's the first step of restoration. I can't be restored if I don't first understand that I need to be restored. And so when I look at a saint and they are living a life of light, and I say, my life is not like that, it lets me know there's some things in me that are not right. I need help. I need hope. I know that I need to be restored. That is love. Church, some of our relationships need to end. The way that we deal with people needs to change, needs to stop. We need to love people enough to stop sinning with them. Amen. That's the bottom line. We need to love people enough to stop sinning with them. Church, when we assess our relationships by God's standard, we realize that some of our relationships should end. And then some of our relationships should, point number two, change. Some of our relationships should end.